Hi, I am Pastor Chris Gordon, the preaching pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you like the doctrines of grace, as heard on Abounding Grace Radio, we do invite you to join us for worship at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. every Sunday. Visit us on the web at escondidourc.org. The address is 1864 North Broadway in Escondido. And now here is our program, Abounding Grace.
Adorning Christ and His Gospel. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Well, so very grateful that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I am Pastor Chris Gordon, Grace Radio Ministries, and we do invite you to go to our website at agradio.org. agradio.org. We have a place there online where you can support us if you would like. Anything that you support with receives, of course, it is tax-free donation, and we are very grateful for your support, and it will be used for the production and costs of the program to bring these radio broadcasts to you. As you know, we are a program here now expanding into the San Diego area. We have a program in Phoenix, and of course, we have been airing in the Pacific Northwest for years. So what a grateful, how grateful we are to the Lord to have this opportunity to bring these broadcasts to you in San Diego. Again, agradio.org. You can write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, L-Y-N-D-E-N, Washington, 98264. Well, if you were with us yesterday, you know that we began a study in Nehemiah chapter 8, and what an exciting, exciting section of scripture demonstrating for us renewal. Renewal in the word, renewal in God's promises. And we need this as Christians. In some sense, every Sunday, when we gather together to hear the word of God proclaimed and receive God's grace, this is what's happening. We're being renewed. So in Nehemiah chapter 8, what we have here is a grand renewal worship service. It's a beautiful thing. And I said yesterday, we all want excitement. We all want joy to our Christianity. We all want our churches to have meaning. We're looking in a search today for power. I've heard so many churches pitch themselves as being life-giving. We all want that. We all want something that gives us real power. And so we are on this quest today to try to show everyone where the power lies. And Nehemiah 8 is showing us that. Nehemiah 8 is demonstrating that for us. The sad reality today is that we're looking for this life, we're looking for this power in all the wrong places. We think we have to reinvent ourselves as churches to be more hip for the next generation. We think we need to take the old name off the sign and give us a new name. We think we need to cover up anything that's doctrinal, anything that tells people where we really stand on issues. Everything needs to be generic. Everything needs to be light. Everything needs to be easy. It's sad, you know? The church today has kind of taken on a shopping mall kind of approach. You can come and you can get whatever department you want. The youth get their own department store. The children get their own jumpy things in the department store. The big people get their own church. You see what we've done? We've separated out everything today, and in the process, we've pandered to the wants of the people and not necessarily to what they need. Where do we determine that? Who determines that? How do we get what we need? Nehemiah 8, no place better to go than to see this. And I said yesterday that what we need today, and I say this humbly, I say this with great concern, what we need today is confidence in the Word of God as the centerpiece of the church. Spirituality diminishes when interest in the Bible diminishes. I mean, it's that simple. It's a simple recipe. The Apostle Paul gave it to the church. Preach the word in season and out of season. You just keep preaching, even when out of season means that very few people want to hear it. You know, are we in an out of season kind of time? Oh, I suggest we're in an out of season kind of time. People don't want to hear the truth of the word. Paul says, just keep preaching. Just keep doing it. That's what God has commanded us to do. And the whole Old Testament is teaching us this. Nehemiah chapter 8 is showing us this in real meaning today. Remember, the situation here was really bleak. The Judah had been hauled off to Babylon. For years, they weren't listening to the word of God. They wouldn't hear the prophets. And what did they want? They wanted smooth words. They wanted the message to be just God loves you and God has a wonderful plan for your life. And they never heard about sin. They never heard about judgment. They never would listen about his wrath. Oh, I think so much. Is this our day or what? You know, very rarely do we hear about sin anymore. And they wanted the smooth prophets. They wanted the nice guys. They wanted the great stories. They wanted things that connect. And all it ended up doing was promoting their own idolatry and materialism. And so the Lord warned. The Lord said, listen, a day of reckoning is coming. Turn from your ways. Listen to me, O Israel. Hear me. They kept putting their trust in the temple, the temple, the temple, the great structure of the temple. You're not going to touch this land and this people. How can you do that? And the prophets would come in and they would speak a word and they ended up in dungeons. And they ended up, they say, Isaiah got sawn in two over his message. That's what the history says happened to Isaiah. You know, Jeremiah ended up in the bottom of a black dungeon. So it was a horrific time, as the entire nation was burned to the ground and the people were carried off. Now, some people will say, well, that's the Old Testament. Come on, we're in the New Testament. And Paul writes to us in 1 Corinthians 10, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he says, all these things were written for you upon whom the ends of the ages have come. All these Old Testament examples so that you would not do the same things. So how much we can learn. The Bible's one great story of redemption. The Bible is one great story of the need for Jesus. So the Old Testament, if it's neglected, you're getting kind of half the story. Nehemiah, what we have is the time of their return from the land of Babylon. The houses are ashes, the temple's been destroyed, and here's a remnant. And you know what they want? They want the word of God. It's a beautiful section of renewal. They had been without it for 70 years. They had been in a pagan land, in a pagan country, and now they're being renewed in the land. What a moment. So these chapters present to us a people who had lost everything. Here they are. Many of their loved ones have been killed. Now they're back, and they want what? In the seventh month, verse 1, the children of Israel were in their cities. Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. Now you can't read this without being deeply touched with the fact, who's asking for what? Ezra, bring the word of God. Just read it to us. Remember in Josiah's day, that book was found in the temple and it was dusty. It hadn't been read for years. And I think, you know, if Amos prophesied that a famine was coming in the land, not a famine of bread or water, but a famine of the hearing of the words of the Lord, men will run to and fro seeking the word of the Lord and they will not find it. Can we have a famine today? Sure we can. We have been flooded in our land with every kind of teen study Bible and adult study Bible, with any kind of color you want, whatever kind of leather you want, green, blue, red, any kind of study edition. And isn't it sad that we live in the most biblically illiterate time ever? Something to think about, isn't it? Here they are, and in the previous chapter, we're told that 42,360 have gathered in the open square. For years, they had not heard the word of God, and now that word is burning within them. You see, what we have in front of us here in Nehemiah chapter 8 is something so beautiful, isn't it? For years they had been under famine and they did not listen to the word of the Lord. For years they had wanted smooth words and flattering speech. You remember what the Old Testament false prophets were saying? Peace, peace. Very similar to the message we get today that God is only love and the complete overthrow of his justice. That God has to judge this world and judge those who refuse to believe in him and his son, that is completely absent today. And that has warped any sort of need for the message of deliverance. Well, here they're back, and all of a sudden, everything is taken from them, their riches, their homes, and what do they want? They finally want the word of God. I said yesterday, and I just have to say it again. You know, years ago, Martin Luther King had a dream. I have a dream. Chris Gordon has a dream. Can I have a dream? My dream is this, that the whole city of Escondido, the whole city of San Diego would come together, and there would be an intense hunger to hear from the Lord again. For years that people would say, we haven't been listening and we see what's going on all around us. We've made the bed in our own misery. Lord, we want to hear from you. And we've stopped the gimmicks. We've stopped all the entertainment. We are so driven on an entertainment culture. We realize, Lord, that to be amused means to not think. That's what amusement means. We have not thought for years upon your word. So give us the word of God, pure and simple. Give us that book. And there's such a hunger in God's people again. There's a hunger in the cities around us for that word that they are crying out like John cried out in the book of Revelation. Give me that book. And the angel said, take and eat it. It will make your stomach bitter, but it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth. Well, you see, dear listener, this happened. And I believe so much in God's power. I believe so much in his word. I believe it can happen. I believe this can happen again. And the Lord would do something amazing by again overwhelming people. There would be a kind of revival back to the word of God. That's pictured for you here in Nehemiah chapter 8. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could understand, all who with understanding. In the first day of the seventh month, it was a day of heralding. Trumpets would be blown. And you know what we read? That he read from the book, from the water gate until morning, until midday, before the men and women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. What a moment. 42,000 strong, morning until midday, they said, give us the word of God. And finally, a time had come when their ears were attentive and they were listening. And this wasn't easy stuff. They had to engage their minds. They had to think. They had to give their minds to listen. This was Leviticus. This was Numbers. This was Deuteronomy. This is what we call the Pentateuch. And so in verse 5, Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, the people stood up, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. What a scene, isn't it? What I want you to notice is they were all one. You ever thought how sad it is today, how disjointed the Church of Jesus Christ is? And not just with fighting and these sort of things. I'm talking about age groups, separations out, and demographically, and how we've separated out according to all these sort of different age groups too. Who gathered? You know what Deuteronomy always said was the design when God's people came before him? They were to be as one man. Gather the people together, Deuteronomy 31, men and women and little ones, and the stranger who is within your gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn to fear the Lord your God, and carefully observe all the words of the law, and that their children who've not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land which you crossed the Jordan to possess. Bring your children. They can know this. They can understand this. I think it's sad today that we send out the children to do their own thing. We're not training the younger generation to sit under the word. And you see, if we're so concerned about our young people who've left, have we trained them to leave at a young age? Something to think about. From morning until midday, hours upon hours, listening to the word. And what it demonstrated, dear listener, is that the eyes and hearts of the people were as one, and they were finally opened to see and to hear. The Spirit was moving. What a scene. What respect for the word. When the word was brought in, they rose up. There was trembling. God himself was speaking to them in his word, his powerful word. Well, notice that's what the text says in verse 4. Ezra stood on a platform of wood, which they had made for the purpose, and on his right hand were the elders. And notice in verse 5, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. This platform of wood was not a stage for showmanship. It was a grand raised pulpit high above the people, that as that man stood behind the pulpit and he heralded, which is what preaching is, it's announcing, it's a heralding. As he heralded the word, the message was clear. The people were worshiping God with their faces to the ground. And the symbolism, what we're being taught here, is that the nation had again gathered under the word of God, for they were not on equal ground. They were hearing God's spokesman. And there was such an overwhelming sense of God's presence, such reverence and submission and understanding, that they had again come to meet with the great King of heaven and earth, under his powerful voice. You know, if you are a Protestant Christian today, an evangelical Christian, your history takes you back to the time of the Protestant Reformation. You know what was the great conviction at that time in Europe? A pulpit was raised high above the people. If you ever go back to Europe and you look at these old churches, there'd be a pulpit that was kind of positioned in the wall, and the minister would have to walk up into it. And he couldn't walk around to demonstrate showmanship. The pulpit was designed to communicate that it housed the word of God. And they wanted that pulpit there. And the minister was to plant his feet and to preach as he stood behind that pulpit. This was the symbolism to teach people the word of God. This pulpit was across denominational lines in this country for years. Today it's been removed. Today, we're kind of embarrassed about it, and we've tried to dress it up and make it glassy, and if it's not glassy, we've just taken it away, and it's a stage. We've replaced the pulpit for a stage. Think about it. Well, that's not what was God's design. There was conviction that here in verse 8, they read distinctively from the book of the law, and they gave the sense. They helped people to understand the reading. So this is expositional preaching. They would read, and they would explain the meaning of the passage. If you ever take time to study throughout church history, every time there was a sincere kind of return to the Lord, it wasn't by some kind of crusade or one sermon phenomenon. Anything that was really sincerely developed was something that was witnessed over time in the trenches. And what were these pastors doing? They were trenching out the word of God. In other words, they were chipping away through books of the Bible. It wasn't storytelling time. It wasn't topic time. It was Bible exposition time. And you see what beautiful symbolism we have here. Not only to stand in support of the word, but here they were guiding the people's understandings of it. You know, one of the crucial questions to ask in this passage, dear listener, is this. Where is everything today that we would think that would make for vibrant, highly effective, relevant worship? It isn't here, is it? You know why? They had tried all that stuff under the false prophets, and they ended up in Babylon. They tried it. where's the really grabbing stuff we think should be here? You know, where's the cool hip pastor and the really relevant praise bands? None of that's here. Why? Because in every major working of the Holy Spirit in history, when there was widespread response to the Lord so as to change someone's life, the centerpiece was always upon the Word of God. As the people stopped speaking, they were silent and they longed to listen. They had been doing their own thing too long. And you see, that's what's before us. After hearing the Word of God, what happened? Then all the people answered, "Amen, amen," while lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. What vibrancy. Let me say, what excitement, huh? What response. This is the kind of vibrancy and excitement we ministers, I'm looking for. This is what we want to see. Yet what brought it about? It was the Spirit working in the hearts of the people. The Spirit working as the Word of God was honored in this way, as it was set before them, proper and befitting of a holy God. Did you notice the connection? Hearing the exposition of the Bible was worship. Now, I just should pause after that. We tend to think today that worship happens when we sing, when we do all these things for God. Listen, there is no greater act of worship than to be filled attentively with the words of life as we listen and give our minds to listen as the Holy Spirit takes that word and applies it right to our hearts. That's the greatest act of worship. There was a fear and trembling to think that God had just spoken through the messenger whom he had sent. And the people shouted, "Amen, amen," lifting up their hands. I say, people said today, "Well, can we lift up our hands and worship?" Amen, lift up your hands. But why don't you do it after the word of God and not the praise music? In other words, sometimes what we're communicating is that we've been emotionally revved up. When we give our minds to listen to God's word and we hear the power of it proclaimed and we respond in faith, lifting up the hands is a beautiful response. Do it after the word, because then we know it's sincere. You see, how many times have we experienced that when God has directly taken his powerful word and applied it to you, you know he spoke right to you that day. You knew God himself was searching and trying you out, knowing your inmost thoughts through that word. And as it penetrated into your conscience, you had a fresh sense of God's powerful gospel. And I love that, because that's where this ends. Ezra the scribe and the Levites taught all the people. They said, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. The holiness of God was set in front of them. And guess what it caused? Weeping over their sin. We need that today. Who's weeping over their sin? When's the last time you've wept over your sin? True hearing of the word will produce that. But you know what that also will produce? Do not sorrow. Ezra says, "For the joy of the Lord is your strength." He wants you to live in the joy of the gospel. He wants you to see that Jesus Christ was given, that you would be forgiven for all of your sins by the promises that God has made through the precious blood of Christ. He made us alive together with him, having forgiven us all trespasses. God is breaking down to build up, that we would know his joy, his amazing love, his forgiveness. And you see, in verse 12, they went rejoicing because they understood the words that were declared to them. They understood the word of God and it filled them with excitement. There's a beauty when that is desired among God's people, that they would come to understand the word. I've always thought that is the greatest evidence that something is happening among those people. So that's what we want today, a return to that, and we will see vibrancy, a return, vibrant exciting worship as we return and submit ourselves to the powerful and living Word of God. Dear listener, let us again come and hear this powerful implanted word, which is able to save our souls. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are very grateful to bring these broadcasts to you. We would love to hear from you. Write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, L-Y-N-D-E-N, Washington, 98264, agradio.org is the website. Thanks for tuning in to Abounding Grace. Well, I am Pastor Chris Gordon, the preaching pastor here at the Escondido United Reformed Church. And if you like the doctrines of grace as heard on this program, our commitment at the Escondido United Reformed Church is to preach the Word of God in season and out of season to show forth Jesus from all of Scripture. We do invite you to join us 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on Sundays. 1864 North Broadway is the address in Escondido. Thanks for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio.